Welcome. We are so glad you've joined us today. Are you ready for another Bayside Christian Church podcast? Let's get straight into it.
For a few minutes today on Jesus' way of discipleship. We've been talking about discipleship. It's a theme. And the last couple of weeks, I thought, Lord, why don't I speak on discipleship? Pastor Peter did a couple of great messages on discipleship, and Nikki Dent ministered so powerfully last week. But I felt the Lord say, you need to look at how Jesus did discipleship and leadership, because he's the one we follow. So I definitely won't get through this message today, but I'm going to start it, and over the coming weeks we'll do some more. Matthew 4:19 says, and he said to them, follow me as my disciples, accepting me as your master and teacher, and walking the same path of life that I walk, and I will make you fishers of men. Aren't you glad God's making us into things that we weren't, but we are becoming? He's changing us. He's making us. He's forming us. And it says, follow me as my disciples. Some people follow Jesus because he's rescued them and he's their savior. Some people follow him because he's a miracle worker. Some people follow him because he feeds the 5,000. He meets your need. I've met people, they're followers of Jesus just when he meets their need. But the rest of the time, they don't really want to become a disciple. But God's called us to be disciples, followers. One's disciple means a disciplined one who follows after the call of God on our lives. Accepting him as master and teacher. Lord, not just a great teacher with great truths, but master and Lord. And walking the same path of life that I walk. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you learn to walk as Jesus walked. You learn to walk as Jesus walked. I remember the funny story I read years ago that they had this little old country church and everyone had to do something. So the guy that was on the door was an elderly gentleman and he'd lived a lot of life, an old farmer, and he had a really bad limp. And so someone new showed up to the church that day and the church was pretty full, little packed church. And there was only one seat down the front. So that old gentleman who was on the front line team says, follow me. And walk this way. So he starts limping down the aisle and the guy following him thought he had to do the same. So he's limping down the aisle after him. We don't have to limp through life, but we do need to follow Jesus with all of our hearts. Matthew 28:19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I've noticed from Scripture and from life, there's a very important principle when we need to understand when it comes to discipleship and leadership. We reproduce and impart who we are, not just what we say or do. Jesus transformed lives because he imparted of who he was. Not just the miracles, not just the great teaching. And this is why when you follow Jesus, he keeps working on your life. He doesn't let you get away with things that you used to get away with. He starts to adjust attitudes and words and behaviors. He starts doing why? Because he's told us to go and make disciples, and we impart who we are to people, not just what we say or do. So you can say all the right words, but if you're a deceiver at heart, it's going to create bad fruit. We've looked at some families over time, and you think, how did that kid turn out that way? And then sooner or later you find somewhere in the family line, someone has been imparting that to that child. A lifestyle, an attitude, a stronghold. This is why Jesus is forming his nature and character in us by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So when you sign up to be a disciple or follow Jesus, it's a lifelong learning journey. It's an exciting journey of freedom, wholeness, life, but it's also a disciplined life where he keeps changing us. And some people bail out. I've met people, they come to Jesus, receive salvation, and 3 months later you don't see him again. You meet him down the street, say, hey, what's happening? He said, oh, I really enjoyed coming to church, but every time I go, I get so challenged to change my lifestyle and I don't want to. I thought, how sad's that? Don't pull back from his work, because he always works things for freedom and blessing so that your life will impact others for his kingdom and glory. And let's look at Jesus, who was and is, and we need to see his nature, attitudes and ways flow through us as we disciple and influence others. So I want to just go through over these next several messages on some of the things that Jesus was and is and did and said. Number one, Jesus was full of grace and truth. John 1:14, and the word Christ became flesh and lived among us, and we actually saw his glory. Glory as belongs to the one and only begotten Son of the Father. The Son who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, who is full of grace and truth, absolutely free of deception. That's a great description of truth, isn't it? Absolutely free of deception and lies. That's what truth really is. And that's what God's working in us. He doesn't want us to be imparting any form of deception or lies. And boy, we've all got blind spots. We deceive ourselves. But the Holy Spirit works in us. The Word is a mirror to our soul. And he'll send someone along who doesn't believe your deceptions and says, hey, why don't you just be real and honest? Husband and wives are really good at that. I had one pastor say, I don't need the Holy Spirit, I've got my wife. She's like the Holy Spirit. But God sends people into our world to help us grow in freedom and truth. And the Word of God exposes our souls. Goes on, John testified, verse 15, repeatedly about him and has cried out, testifying officially for the record with validity and relevance. This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I and has priority over me, for he existed before me. For out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Mate, if you ever feel like you've missed out, read that verse. This is what Jesus is doing in and through our lives. And yeah, there are some times of testing. There are some scars. But it's so that you can live in the overflow of God and impart this to other people. Out of his fullness, superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. For the law was given through Moses, but grace, the unearned, undeserved favor of God and truth, came through Jesus Christ. So when you read the Gospels, when you get to know Jesus personally, he is working grace and truth in your lives. Jesus was truth, absolutely free of deception. I love that thought. And sometimes we need to pray the prayer, Lord, search my heart, O God. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, is there any deceptive things in me that are messing up my mind or heart or causing stress in others that's unnecessary? Cleanse my heart, O God. Like David said, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Wow, what a prayer that is. We see Jesus minister with grace and truth to the disciples and to the people during his earthly ministry as recorded in the Gospels. And you read through the Gospels and you start to look at how he treated people with grace and truth. Think of the woman that was caught in adultery. They bought her. Someone originally said they wanted to stone her, which Old Testament law should happen. But you've got to ask the question, where was the guy? Because he should have been there and getting stoned as well. So there's a whole lot of stuff going on in there. And then Jesus, what did he do? He said, he who is without sin cast the first stone. What an act of grace that unraveled all of their hearts, all the accusers. And then he said to the woman, go and sin no more. That was the truth that she needed to have. So Jesus ministered grace and truth in a beautiful way that set her life free, saved her life and set her free. And you read through the Gospels at how Jesus treated people, and you'll see amazing grace at times, and other times you'll see truth like a sword cutting through the lies of the Pharisees and other people. Jesus demonstrated grace and truth. And whenever I'm in a conflict with someone or a relationship's not going well, I've got to ask myself, Jesus, am I operating in a right measure of grace and a right measure of truth? Or have I moved to one or the other? Some people can get really legalistic. So, well, the Bible just says this and that's what you've got to do. But it won't work unless there's an appropriate measure of grace to be the bridge to carry that message of truth. I've seen parents just be so hard on their kids because they want them to just grow up the right way. Hey, you've got to have love and grace as the bridge to carry the truth. If they don't feel loved and accepted, they won't receive the truth. And a really good test of how well you're discipling and training people, whether it's a child, a grandchild, whether it's a mentoring or a discipleship process for a newer Christian, is how does the other person feel after they've had interaction with you? Do they feel loved, inspired, encouraged, built up, challenged to change? And sometimes instead of saying, oh, you've just done some dumb stuff, you can say, God's made you for better than this. And you're saying the same thing, but now you're saying it with grace. You're speaking to their identity. God's made you for a better life than what you're choosing to live right now. Sinful, falling short. That's grace and truth mixed together. You see how God can help us? And there are occasional times where he hits us between the eyes because that's just what you need to get your attention. And then he'll start to minister healing to you. And there are times where it's the only thing that gets our attention. But he doesn't stay at that. He then takes us on the journey of healing and release. So number one, Jesus was full of grace and truth. Second one, Jesus was the light, full of light. Pastor Peter mentioned this. John 1, 4 and 5 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Isn't that powerful? When Jesus' light shines into your heart or mind, into your family, your situation, your finances, let me tell you, the light of Jesus is like lightning from heaven, and no darkness can stand against it or overcome it. Do you know what darkness is? It's basically just the absence of light. Darkness is the absence of light. You go into a dark room at night, you turn the light switch on, all of a sudden you can see what you couldn't see before. And I've never yet heard darkness crying out, I'm not going, I'm not leaving. It's got no choice because light dispels the darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Then he said, you are the light of the world because Jesus is within you. So how powerful is that? That we carry the light of Jesus in us, which is pushing back the darkness all around us all the time. The enemy will try and intimidate you so that you think, oh, I can't really change that situation. With the light of Jesus in, it's pushing back darkness all of the time. And Nikki Dent showed us, just shine the light of truth and darkness and counterfeit has to flee. Very powerful. Just thinking back on how do people feel after you've been with them. I've met some amazing people in my life. Pastor Murray Newman is someone who has really impacted my life. He's been a prophet guy. He's been to our church. He's coming again in September this year. But the first time I met him about 18 months ago, something happened in my heart. After just chatting for about 15 minutes, I thought, this guy is carrying Jesus. And he carries God's love. He's got that beautiful laugh, smile, but he looks into people's hearts and he makes you feel loved and accepted and ready to rise. That's how I feel every time I talk to him on the phone or I see him personally. Another guy is Don McDonnell, evangelist guy. Don just carries Jesus. Whether you're a Christian or not, you get around Don within 2 minutes. You feel Jesus' love and you feel his power and you think, oh, I just need to get up and do something with my life. He inspires you to arise and do better with life. That's just two, and there's others that I've met over the years. I want to ask you the question, what sort of influence do you leave on other people? Are they glad to see you go? Like the awkward uncle or auntie that comes to Christmas once a year and think, oh no, do they have to really come, you know? And you think, oh, well, we'll have to be on our best behavior and they're going to complain about the food and they're going to complain about this. And oh, hey, let's never be like that. Let us be the sort of person that carries God's love and grace and truth. People love hanging out with us. I'm amazed that Jesus, he challenged their lifestyles all the time, but the sinners loved to hang out with him. How did that work? Something amazing. He carried grace and truth, and he shone light into the darkness of their souls, and instead of condemning, it inspired them to change. That's the sort of people God's calling us to be, that we disciple others so that they feel drawn closer to Jesus. Third one, we might finish on this one today. Jesus was a man of prayer. Often the Gospels record Jesus praying on his own with his Father. Prayer was his foundation, selecting his disciples. He had hundreds of people starting to follow him because the miracles were happening. And he knew he had to select 12 of them. So it says in John, in Luke 6, verse 12, one of those days, Jesus went up to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. He prayed all night to pick his leaders. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, excuse me, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, fancy being called a zealot, hey? Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Did Jesus make a mistake by picking Judas? It's part of God's overall plan. But Jesus spent all night praying before he picked his disciples, who were going to become his leaders, and he knew within 3 years he was going to hand over to them. Boy, what a rough... Well, they were... Go to the college, just took the bed. He didn't synagogue to find the most righteous-looking young men or women. He went down, found fishermen, found those who were working hard. We'll look at that a bit later. Luke 11:1 says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. They saw Jesus praying and they saw the power of his prayers every day. They said, hey, you've got to teach us to pray. We've been raised in the Jewish culture and to do our prayers to Jehovah, Almighty God, and do all their rituals. They said, Jesus, when you pray, things happen. When we pray, we can't wait to finish the prayers and get back to eating or fishing or doing whatever. I said, teach us to pray. And Jesus then said in Matthew 6:9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So here we see the amazing Lord's Prayer, we know it. It's basically the disciples' prayer. And some of you know it off by rote, but I want to encourage you, pray that prayer regularly and take some time to reflect on it. A new Christian the other day asked me, what should I pray? I said, this is a really good starting point. Don't just memorize it, but go through it. Our Father, it's talking about having a relationship with Heavenly Father. Hallowed be your name, talks about worship and honoring who our Almighty God is. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So you're saying, Lord, bring your lordship over my life, over my family, my business, my community, my workplace. Lord, let your kingdom come in everything that I am and do. You're inviting Jesus to be Lord over every area that your life influences. And it goes on and it says, give us today our daily bread. In other words, don't just rely on your skills. God, you're my source, even though you've given me a job or you've given me skills or talent. Lord, give us today our daily bread, and that can be natural and spiritual bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. So every day you should pray that prayer. I think it was amazing when the children of Israel, God blessed them and provided manna from heaven. Every morning they had to go and get it. The only day it lasted 2 days was when the Sabbath was on, so they could have a day of rest and worship. Every day we need to go and pray that prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. The whole power of forgiveness. And if you pray that every day, you'll live a life of forgiveness, and you won't have to wrestle to try and forgive people because it'll become so much a lifestyle. Lead us not into temptation. Well, that's a good prayer, eh? Temptation comes because we've got an active enemy trying to steal your life and destroy you. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There is an active devil out there trying to stop you becoming the best disciple possible for Jesus. Don't focus on him, but say, Lord, deliver me from his schemes. Show me what they are so I can avoid them and live above them and not overwhelmed by them. Christians can get caught in one of two things. They ignore the devil and say, oh, well, he's not real. Or they focus and get fascinated by him and they lose sight of Jesus and get overwhelmed by darkness. Don't fall into either ditch. Walk with your eyes on Jesus and address evil when it comes around. That's the best way to live life. I don't get worried about what the devil's doing. I get on living for Jesus, and if he shows up his head or his schemes, then I'll address it. That's the way to live life. It's a simple but it's a powerful way to live life. Because sometimes the anointing on you, what Psalm 23 says, you anoint my head with oils. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. One of the reasons why the old shepherds anointed the sheep with oil on their head was to destroy the worms and the diseases that would come and try and kill the sheep. Let me tell you, when you stay anointed by God, the devil can't touch you. When you stay under his presence, his anointing oil, his love, his power causes you to live above and beyond the schemes of the enemy. That's what God promises. And it goes on, and to walk in forgiveness, deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. You finish off with praise. Finish with this one beautiful passage in John 17. This is Jesus' prayer for his disciples. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. That's a great prayer. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This is the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in the scriptures, is John 17. There's so much in there. Hey, life's way too short to be fighting with another Christian. Way too short to have offenses that are not dealt with. Way too short to let someone else's weaknesses aggravate you and take your eyes off Jesus. way too short for a family member who just clashes with you all the time. Life's way too short to let that hinder you from walking in blessing and freedom. Unity, forgiveness, harmony, one. That's Jesus' prayer for our lives. And if that challenges you today, say, God, what's my part in restoring? As the worship team come, what's my part in living above that stuff? People are people. We do the craziest things. We do the dumbest things to one another sometimes. The old American preacher said, oh, to live with the saints above, that will be glory. But to live with the saints below, that's another story. Because we're human beings. We all have agendas at times, or just blind spots. But hey, let's keep growing as disciples of Jesus, and then we'll impart who we are, not just what we say or do. Next time I preach, we'll be looking at some of the others. Jesus was full of the power of the Spirit. He was moved with great authority. He was full of wisdom. He was moved with compassion. There's so many things that as we look at Jesus, it helps us to live better lives, better relationships, and we truly become His disciples and make disciples. Let's stand in His presence today. Lord, you're so amazing. Just close your eyes and let His presence touch your heart. The Holy Spirit's all over this service today. He's touching so many lives. There are people here today that the Word has just got a hold of your heart. There's some things shifting. For some of us, this is just a reminder of the joy of being a disciple of Jesus. For some, this is an encouragement. Hey, don't just be thinking about yourself. Be thinking about how can I influence and bless and touch other people? How can I lead and serve? How can I get beside and disciple a new Christian? How can I get beside and help others grow in their faith? How can my life be as free as possible so I'm imparting kingdom of God, not messed up human values? Oh Lord, we just reach up to you right now. Let your presence flood our hearts. Let your presence flood our souls. I pray this message will bring hope into hearts. It will lift our eyes upon you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, full of grace and truth. Lord, for some of us, we need more of your truth because your word protects our hearts. But some of us need more grace so that we're not judging and condemning others. For some of us, we get them mixed up and we need them in right order. Lord, help us to see ourselves and others through the eyes of Jesus. Because when we pray, you change our perspective and we see ourselves and others through your eyes, which changes everything. I pray right now for damaged relationships where there's conflict and strife in relationships. Lord, perspectives that are not as whole as they should. Attitudes towards teenagers or children. To workmates, Lord, help us carry Jesus' presence wherever we go.
Thank you for joining us. The Bayside Christian Church community aims to transform our city and beyond with the life and power of Jesus Christ. If you want to know more or just keep in touch, check us out at www.baysidechristianchurch.com.au or follow us on our social media sites at Bayside Christian Church.